Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Comes together, please keep us in the loop so we can have you back on and hear how the project continues.
I definitely will.
Okay, thank you. And this show, as you know, has been sponsored in part by Renovations, home of extraordinary design and remodeling. They have been independently rated highest in quality and customer satisfaction, and they're proud and excited to be Diamond Certified and the first green certified business in Carmel Valley. So visit Renovations on their website at renovations.net. To find out who's on the show tomorrow, you can go to my website, deborahlindsay.com, and click on the Google Calendar. You would find out that Dr. Mary Lou Shockley, who is with a local shipper grower foundation, will be talking about sustainable agriculture. So please do listen in. And many thanks to Jeff for helping out in the studio. He's been blogging a bit, so check it out on my website, deborahlindsay.com, and there's information there that supports the shows if you missed anything. Thank you so much for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend. And stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Wall Street's reaction to the failure of the bailout was the single biggest one-day point drop, 777 points and change. If Congress ultimately does just let the economy's chips fall where they will, what will that mean to the country? Will it mean recession or worse? Or as some contrarians think, will the street and the economy weather the storm and soldier on? Big risk, says Larry Swedrow at Buckingham Asset Management in St. Louis.
Something needed to be done or the system is at risk of shutting down. And the people who voted against it are playing with fire.
CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill says Congress will be back at work with rewriting in mind.
After the shocking vote, Congress adjourned until Thursday, with leaders saying they'll go back to the drawing board and look for a way to save a bailout they remain convinced is vital to preventing even more economic suffering. One of the leaders of the conservative Republicans who helped sink the bill, Jeb Hensarling of Texas, said they did the right thing and weren't deterred by the big drop on Wall Street.
Clearly it is important to get it done quickly. But it is more important to get it done correctly.
He says they want market solutions without using taxpayer dollars.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where the administration is serving notice that it won't take no for an answer from Congress.
Our strategy is to continue to address this economic situation head on.
It's a point echoed by Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson.
We've got much work to do, and this is much too important to simply let fail.
Like President Bush, Paulson says he's very disappointed by the House vote, but he remains determined to get Congress to pass a bailout plan.
Folks on the streets of this country, even those who don't want to rescue the fat cats, are nervous about the whole thing.
I'm very concerned. Our retirement is at risk. I don't feel that we should have a full bailout of the federal money market millionaires.
My retirement fund is in the stock market, and so it's going to impact me if they don't do something.
And if credit gets so tight that small businesses, who are 85% of America's economic engine, can't get money, then what is the question? Reaction from the presidential campaigns sounded pretty political, but in the end, both camps called for bipartisan effort.
One of the messages that I have to Congress is get this done. Democrats, Republicans, step up to the plate, get it done.
I would hope that all our leaders, all of them, can put aside short-term political goals and do what's in the best interest of the American people.
The FDIC says J.P. Morgan's purchase of Washington Mutual, WaMu, stands, is not dependent on the government bailout. The FDIC also says Citigroup's purchase of Wachovia is not yet a done deal, though it has been approved. Wall Street, the Dow lost almost 778 points. NASDAQ fell nearly 200, just to repeat. This is CBS News.
1 gallon of fuel in a lawnmower will mow about half your backyard. a gallon of fuel in an ice cream truck? Will disappoint a lot of kids. But a gallon of fuel in a CSX train can move one ton of freight 423 miles. Just think what that can do for the environment. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Guys, it's time your clothes worked as hard as you do. Come to the men's store inside JCPenney and get unbeatable deals on Stafford. They've got everything you need for the office. Right now, Stafford suit separates, sport coats, dress trousers, and dress shirts are all 40 to 50% off. And be sure to check out Stafford Performance, clothing that works hard to keep you looking your best. Work smart, dress smarter with Stafford. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
If your ticker just isn't working right, the chances are pretty good you don't feel so good about the future.
Heart patients should be routinely screened for depression, the American Heart Association now says.
They're more likely to have recurrent events, lower quality of life.
Yale professor Judith Lichtman, co-author of new recommendations, says two simple questions could help identify problem patients.
Whether or not someone has little interest or pleasure in doing things, or whether someone's feeling down, depressed, or hopeless.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
So how bad are the hurricane-caused gasoline shortages in the southeast? CBS's Pete Combs in Atlanta.
Tanker trucks are delivering about a quarter of their usual loads to gas stations around North Georgia, and it's usually gone in just hours. One tanker driver I talked with says he's had to chase off angry drivers with a crowbar more than once since this whole thing started, and he's becoming more and more worried for his own safety.
Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-1443. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret that credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-1443. That's 1-800-400-1443. Call now, 1-800-400-1443.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I was fooling around on the 12th string late last night and just whipped this together. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Tanned, rested, well, kind of. Had a beautiful day on San Francisco Bay yesterday and then caught the end of the Blues Festival at Fort Mason. Johnny Winter and the Electric Blues. It was pretty fine. We have a lot to talk about in a short 3 hours to get down to it, so let's do. In a moment, we'll update you on the vote in the Senate over the billionaire bailout. That'll be on our minds today. We're also going to talk about the Democrats caving totally 100% on the offshore drilling ban. Later this hour, Jamil Jaffer and Jonathan Hafitz, both at the ACLU. Hafitz just came over from the Brennan Center at New York University. And we're going to talk about Gitmo and Abu Ghraib, the Bush administration's torture policies. Jamil Jaffer is covering the issues related to the court order releasing the grisly photos from Abu Ghraib. And Jonathan Hafitz is going to check in with us about the prosecutor with principles who quit the tribunal team late last week. We'll find out why. And also the bizarre case of the prisoner who doesn't want to come out and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed offering to go have a friendly little chat with him. I want to hear that story. Next hour, Cliff Schechter is going to join us, the author of The Real McCain and our official Johnny Watcher. We're going to talk about the debate. We're going to talk about the mess on Wall Street and just the extent to which John McCain is responsible for either the cause or the bailout that has at least been turned down in the first round of congressional voting today. And we're also going to talk about the lengthy expose in Sunday's New York Times about John McCain's connection to Indian gaming. Yeah, he's in it deeper than Jack Abramoff was. We're also going to have a little fun today. Wynn McCormick will join us. Wynn has written the Republican Family Values Guide. And there are so many juicy stories of Republicans who talk about family values and then, you know, they're exposed to having a mistress, a secret life, the secret wife. And we're going to have a little fun with that. Then Melanie Sloan will check in from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They're monitoring the Ted Stevens trial, number one in earmarks. And will he be going to jail? We'll find out. The Dick Cheney email battle. And also the Justice Department released a report today saying that, well, there were some problems with those U.S. attorneys, but nothing that would cause us to investigate Alberto Gonzalez any further. And we'll get your reaction to the debate on Friday night. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call at any time. We pay for it. 888-5. Peter B. is the toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can email me 24/7, and people do. I appreciate that. It's Peter at PeterBCollins.com, or if you're feeling less charitable, try full of it at PeterBCollins.com. It will reach me. Well, the first round of voting, and it's probably not the last, over the billionaire bailout package in the House of Representatives, a defeat. And it's hard to know who the winners and losers here are. I guess Bush is the biggest loser, but you got to chalk up Nancy Pelosi and Chris Dodd and Harry Reid and Barney Frank, because they were there carrying water for the president, and they only got 65 Republican votes, not enough to pass the House. It was defeated 228 to 205. And where they go next, I don't know. They're going to point fingers at somebody else. They're going to do a lot of fear-mongering and see if they can find the votes they need to get that passed. Now, as I mentioned last week, this whole distraction of the bailout crisis, the alleged financial meltdown that could happen any day now, is a smokescreen that has been used by the Democrats to do what they've done best this year, and that is take difficult issues and flush them away. They call it getting them off the table. The alternative minimum tax disappeared last week. They used to tell us we needed $150 billion to pay for that, but not when you got a funny money scene going on. Also, they passed a $612 billion defense package that includes loads of earmarks. Ted Stevens is number one, John Murtha is number two, and they're funding fully this bogus missile defense and radar system in the Czech Republic and in Poland. And that is what goes on when the Democrats are in charge. They also have given up completely on the offshore drilling ban, and this week it will quietly expire. To talk about that, we invited Anna Aurelia to join us today, and she is the director of the Washington Office of Environment America. Their website is easy, environmentamerica.org. Anna, welcome to our program today.
Well, thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay, but I'm feeling burned and taken advantage of. How about you?
Well, I'm feeling like we're not dead yet. So
well,
put a happier face on it, because I'm here wearing my No Drill, No Spill T-shirt that Florida PIRG, which was one of our affiliated organizations, crafted back in 1990 when we were trying to protect the coast of Florida from offshore drilling.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear this T-shirt now almost every single day. I do wash it in between.
Thank you.
But I'm convinced that this T-shirt is going to last, and I'm going to wear it as much as I can until we get the protections reinstated.
All right. Well, then, could you change your official photo on the website so that we could see you in the T-shirt?
My staff are very nervous. When I told them I was going to do this, they said, "Do we have to sit near you?" But honestly, it is a huge deal. It's a huge, huge, although temporary victory for big oil, that we've lost 27 years of protection for the Atlantic and Pacific coast.
Well, and see, I'm really steamed about this, because when people are rational, they will understand pretty clearly that this will not help us in the near term, and it will only help us a little in the long term in terms of, you know, if we're simply looking at the price of oil and demand for it here in this country. But we know that when we're rational, that this is not in any way, shape, or form a solution to our long or short-term problems. Yet, because the polling showed that many Americans said yes when a pollster said, should we be drilling offshore, should we be drilling in Anwar, that the Democrats felt they had to deliver this. And what really frosts me, Anna, is that they first negotiated with themselves to give up the ban on offshore drilling, and then sat down with the Republicans to affirm it. Back in August, we heard both Pelosi and Obama open the door to some limited form of offshore drilling as a way to get what they wanted in the package for R&D for renewables and you know, worthwhile things, a rollback in some of the tax breaks for the oil companies. But this is a stinky deal, and the Democrats have gone back on their word at least twice, if not three times, in terms of their position on offshore drilling.
Well, to be absolutely crystal clear, sure, let's just reiterate the facts, because you're right. One of the problems is the public hasn't been hearing the facts. And when pollsters don't just ask the question, do you support drilling off our coast? They say, do you support drilling off our coast to bring down the price of gasoline? You know, someone asked me, do I support drilling off our coast to lose 20 pounds? But I still wouldn't support it. But you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The issue here is the facts weren't getting out. And actually, the Bush administration's own energy analysts concluded that even if you opened up all of our currently protected coastal areas to drilling, it would not have a significant impact. In fact, it would have an insignificant impact on the price of oil, even in 2030, which is the first we'd actually see of significant production.
Right.
But even then, it would be insignificant. And the reason why it would is because we have 3% of the world's proven oil reserves, and we use 25% of the world's daily production. So the facts are absolutely on our side. People got scared when they saw $4 a gallon gasoline, and there was nobody with an alternative to capture their imagination who was willing to stand up and come up with a very clear, very strong package of clean energy alternatives. We tried to get out there with our message. We clearly didn't do it aggressively enough, and there wasn't enough vision in what it's actually going to take to solve this problem, which is to reduce our dependence on oil, to be able to combat a $198 million advertising campaign by Big Oil. This was also a campaign that was led by Newt Gingrich. You remember him. He's not known for his honesty.
Newty?
So,
I know Newty, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this was about steamrolling the American public and, unfortunately, the U.S. Congress as well.
Well, the interim proposal was that they could drill offshore between the 50 and 100-mile limits. And the Republicans were livid about that because they didn't think there was much oil in those zones, and they felt that we were missing the critical royalty component of the legislation that they wanted, which was a way to shower money on coastal states so that they would lift their own moratoria on offshore drilling.
Well, the fact of the matter is, from about on most coastal areas, the federal water started about 3 miles out.
Right.
And so states have some say, and we are going to go and remind states, especially, I know a lot of your listeners are in California. And California has led the way in protecting its coast from offshore drilling, and I can tell the story about what happened to cause it that way. The bottom line is states have jurisdiction after 3 miles, and then the feds take over.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to our mind, it didn't matter if the line was 50 miles or 100 miles or 3 miles. It's not going to help us with our energy woes. It is going to threaten our coasts and our beaches with oil spills and toxic pollution because, of course, water flows. So even if you're 50 miles out, you can have impacts on the coast. And the bottom line is, again, it was a failure of vision and imagination and, you know, people not willing to be able to stand up and stare the big oil companies and the Bush administration in the face and say, this isn't the way it should go down. We passed a really strong fuel economy law back in December. President Bush is lowballing implementing that now. He's making cars, he's requiring cars and trucks to get much less fuel economy in 2015, which is the first year they'd have to start changing their fuel economy, than is actually justified by the current price of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to persuade the Congress to actually take up that issue, to say, why not just make them actually implement the fuel economy law that you passed in December, we'd get three times as much oil starting in 2020 than we'd ever get from drilling off our coast. But we couldn't break through. So it is a real failure of vision and imagination. I think there'll be a new opportunity with the next administration. I don't want to downplay the huge victory that this is for big oil, but the fact of the matter is they can't start drilling tomorrow. They have to actually go through a process.
Mm-hmm.
Big oil and its allies in Congress right now as we speak are trying to float new legislation to try to sneak in with all this turmoil with the mega bailout bill. They're trying to do that, right. So we're watchdogging that.
Okay, and Anna, as we go to a break here, you get to pick the metaphor. Is it the toothpaste in a tube, or is it the genie in a bottle?
Toothpaste in a tube. I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
You have to put the toothpaste in the tube or the
right.
genie
See,
in a bottle.
Right. See, you can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. That's my point about the offshore drilling ban. Now that the Democrats have opened that barn door, it's going to be very hard to revisit. We'll pick up there as we continue with Anna Aurelio from Environment America. You can call in with a comment. You want to drill, baby? Call me now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes into the hour. My guest is Anna Aurelio from Environment America on the web at environmentamerica.org. We're talking about the expiration of the offshore drilling ban on the Atlantic and Pacific coasts. This has been permitted by the Democrats in this gaggle of bills that were ganged up and passed in between arguments over the bailout in the past week or so. And, Anna, one of the things that almost put me over the edge was hearing Senator Obama in the debate on Friday night offer a kind of Me Too. John McCain tweaked him about being opposed to building more nuclear power plants and to drilling offshore. And without elaboration, Obama just said that he's okay with offshore drilling and with more nuclear power plants in this country. Did you have the same tweaky moment that I had when you heard that?
Well, I wasn't happy to hear that, especially because, again, it's not going to help solve our energy problems, and Environment America actually has endorsed Senator Obama to be president. We think his voting record is far better than that of Senator McCain. Senator McCain has failed to show up for any single clean energy vote in the last year and a half. So he claims he's concerned about global warming, but he isn't. Yeah, one of the things that besides the focus on offshore drilling, that's just the wrong way to go, is, again, we need to actually get off oil. So we'd like to see whoever's president next, and, again, we do hope it's Barack Obama. I think he will be much better than McCain. And before the debate, you know, in previous statements, he had said he could consider offshore drilling if it was part of a more comprehensive energy package. So, again, we weren't pleased to hear that. But we like the more comprehensive energy package, and that's what we'd like to work with him on.
And likewise, his comments about nuclear power were in context. He said, well, if we can, he wants to do research on making it safer, and he was addressing nuclear waste issues. That's a reasonable, defensible position. But the way he did it in the debate, he seemed to be just trying to say, me too, there's no difference between me and McCain. And I agree with you. I will vote for Obama. But this is just another disappointment to me, where I feel a Democrat has eroded a strong rational position for short-term political gain. And let me ask you about this, because a week or so ago I talked to a Democratic progressive congressman from Vermont, Peter Welch, and we both agreed that there'll be no drilling in Lake Champlain. But he wants to, he supported the lifting of this ban, and he made the bizarre argument that the royalties from offshore drilling will be used to pay for R&D to help us get off our addiction to oil. Now, we know that that money won't flow until 2025 at the very earliest. It won't be substantial until 2030. And I'm just wondering, you know, with that kind of economic planning, I guess I understand why so many Democrats voted for the bailout.
Well, and here's the tragedy, and actually I think your listeners are quite active people, so if I can put in a plea to help. One of the things that's fallen by the wayside here, which is not the most aggressive or transformative energy policy, but it is still quite important, is the clean energy tax extensions packages that are going to keep 116,000 jobs alive in the solar and the wind energy industry. Mm-hmm. And if they are extended, could actually get 150,000 solar jobs in California alone. These tax extenders are set to expire at the end of the year.
That's
and
right.
Congress may leave without actually extending them. We need to get these things extended right away.
I thought it was part of the big package last week. I thought that was included.
No, it actually, they have not been extended. Mm-hmm. They are not extended, and Congress may leave without extending them. And it's come into a whole dreadful match between the House and the Senate on how to pay for them. And the House wants to cut tax breaks for big oil, which is perfectly great. The Republicans and the Senate don't want to actually pay for anything. So this is something that could from Big Side, and this is actually very sound energy policy. So
yes, it is. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that, Anna. And while they're calling Washington, also ask them to vote on the Don Siegelman contempt for Karl Rove citation that came out of the Judiciary Committee in August. That one's important to me. Anna, thank you very much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Thanks for having me on here, and you take care, Peter B.
All right, and I want to see your picture in that T-shirt, okay?
I'll send it.
Anna Aurelio, visit their website, environmentamerica.org. We'll take a break and return. Talk about Bush torture policies with two great minds from the American Civil Liberties Union. That's straight ahead.
To pass a package that will include $25 billion in low-cost loans for carmakers to develop and retool plants to turn out cleaner, more efficient vehicles. That will end up costing the taxpayers a mere $7.5 billion, which doesn't even sound like a whole lot of money anymore. Anyway, General Motors has unveiled its first plug-in electric car in California earlier this month, and Ben Tracy of CBS News asked GM's Dave Bartmus,
are we going to actually see this in a showroom where I can buy it and drive it away at some point?
Yes, and you're going to see it by the end of 2010.
But, Bartmus says,
this for us is the future.
The future isn't what it used to be, as we'll hear after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the total transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5...
He's talking about cars like GM's Chevy Volt.
To see electric cars come back and begin to find like a real niche is makes you think that change is possible when people want it.
Give or take a year or two. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. And in this half hour, we're going to get updates on what I call the Bush administration's torture policy. Jamil Jaffer from the ACLU will join us in a moment. And after the break, Jonathan Haffet, now with the ACLU, will be with us on a slightly separate issue.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up this morning. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Oh, don't worry about the torture. It won't happen to you.
Spend it all today and we will build it tomorrow. Free peace, and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The S-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a pop-a-pill culture. Drugs, Japanese, circling like a vulture.
Coast father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna buy me a fire?
And Spearhead playing us into this segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. They tell you not to worry about the torture. And a reference in there to some white-collar criminals on Wall Street, too. More timely than ever. Thank you, Michael Franti. Returning to our program is Jamil Jaffer from the American Civil Liberties Union. Jamil, how are you today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
It's nice to talk with you again. And you're making some progress in trying to pry open some sensitive information that the Bush administration would rather not see public. And this has to do with photographs of detainee abuse or harsh interrogation methods. I use the term torture where it applies. And under the Freedom of Information Act, the ACLU has asked the court to release a number of photographs. And the decision last week, as I understand it, does not relate directly to Abu Ghraib, but to other torture zones in the U.S. Gulag. Is that right?
That's right. And in fact, that's why we think these photographs are so important. These are photographs that we requested in October of 2003, so a long time ago. And initially, the Bush administration greeted that request with silence. It was only after the Abu Ghraib photographs were broadcast in April of 2004 that we were able to get a court order requiring the government to, the word that's used is process our Freedom of Information Act request. And since then, the government has been under that court order producing documents to us on a more or less regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these photographs were an exception. The government took the position that the photographs shouldn't be released, that the photographs depicted abuse, that if the photographs were released, there would be retaliation against Americans. The government also argued that releasing the photographs would violate the privacy rights of prisoners, violate the Geneva Convention rights of prisoners.
Oh, it's nice that they care so much about the rights of those they lock up indefinitely and abuse.
Right. I suppose it would have been nicer had they cared about that when the abuse took place in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It might have prevented some of that abuse, but nonetheless, they took that position later on. And we got a district court judge in New York to order that the photographs be released. The government then appealed that decision to the Second Circuit, the Court of Appeals here, and the decision we got last week is a decision from that Court of Appeals requiring the Bush administration to release those photographs. And as I said, I think that the importance of these photographs is that they're not from Abu Ghraib, that they show, I think they provide the best possible evidence that abuse wasn't limited to that facility, but was in fact systemic. And I suspect that what we'll see in those photographs when they're released is that the same methods that were being used at Abu Ghraib or very similar methods were being used at other facilities. And I don't think that's a coincidence. That's a result of the interrogation methods that were approved at the highest levels and authorized by officials in Washington, justified by lawyers in Washington, and all of that trickled down to the, as it was meant to, trickled down to the detention facilities all over the world, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and at Guantanamo Bay.
And so, Jamil, where are these photos from? Bagram and some of the, if you made the request in 2003, this was pretty early in the U.S. adventures overseas, so my guess is that these would primarily have been related to Afghanistan.
Well, we made the request in 2003, but because the search didn't actually begin until much later,
mm-hmm.
The search encompasses photographs that may have been taken after 2003. Now, that said, we do think that some of the photographs are from Bagram. Others are from detention facilities in Iraq.
And so do you know what you sought? In other words, do you have information that certain photographs exist, or was this a kind of open-ended fishing expedition on your part?
Well, you know, initially we filed the request with almost no information. All we had were a few newspaper articles that reported that prisoners in Iraq had, sorry, in Afghanistan had been subjected to aggressive interrogation methods, and that two prisoners at Bagram had been killed during interrogations. And we found that very troubling, obviously, and filed a FOIA request to find out whether that was part of a pattern or whether it was aberrational. At that time, time, though, we had almost no information about what was going on. It was just an attempt to get information. Now, since then, we have learned, sometimes through the FOIA itself, through the Freedom of Information Act, and sometimes through leaks to the news media, of other incidents and the existence of other documents and photographs. And as we've learned of those documents and photographs, we've supplemented our FOIA request or narrowed the FOIA request or clarified the FOIA request to address those particular documents and photographs. These photographs that we were just talking about are an example of that. They're not the only example. Mm-hmm. We also learned relatively recently about legal memos that were written by the Office of Legal Counsel in 2005 to redefine the phrase cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment, which is a phrase that has meaning in international law and also under the Geneva Convention. And after we learned of the existence of those memos, we filed a supplemental FOIA request to try to get those memos through litigation. We're still litigating for those memos.
And, Jamil, did you make specific requests, for example, for photographs of John Walker Lynn, the American Taliban from here in California, or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who we believe was held at Bagram, and that's where he was waterboarded, according to our own government submissions?
You know, we didn't request photographs of specific people, but we did request photographs and videotapes from, for example, the CIA. After we learned that the CIA had videotaped the waterboarding of a small number of prisoners, at least, we asked the CIA to disclose those videotapes, and we also moved to have the CIA held in contempt for its destruction of certain of those videotapes. And that contempt motion is still pending before the district court here in New York.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jamil, let me ask you about the larger question of who authorized these techniques and exactly what the process was. There's some interesting new information available. Last week, news accounts reported on the information that came out of a suit by, a top lawyer at the National Security Council. The New York Times got these documents, and they were provided by Senator Levin of the Intelligence Committee. And what it describes is the way these meetings were held in the White House, the members of the National Security Council and their principals committee. And there's an interesting sidebar in Barton Gellman's new book about Dick Cheney, which is called Angler. And that is that in 2004, Rice was tasked directly by the president with revisions of the detention and interrogation policies. And she was repeatedly thwarted by Donald Rumsfeld's refusal to show up for the meetings. And apparently on the third one in a row where he refused to be there, she left the room reportedly in tears, which is just an interesting look into her personality and, I guess, her ability to be very emotional about being insulted by Donald Rumsfeld in her desire to legalize these presumably illegal actions of her administration. I find that interesting and a little bizarre.
Well, there's certainly a lot more information coming out right now about high-level responsibility for the development and implementation of these policies. It's not the first information of this kind that's out there. We've known for some time now that the methods that that the Defense Department used at Guantanamo, including stress positions and holding prisoners in extremely cold or extremely hot temperatures and shackling them hand and foot and hooding them and threatening them with dogs, all of that was approved by Secretary Rumsfeld. We actually have the interrogation directive in which he did it. And the same interrogation methods were then taken to Guantanamo, where they were used against prisoners there. And we have the interrogation directives that the General Sanchez issued in Iraq once the Guantanamo methods were taken to Iraq. So, you know, it's not news that senior officials were involved in the development and implementation of these policies. It is interesting that all of this information about the National Security Council and the involvement of Secretary Rice is coming out now at the end of the Bush administration. It does seem that more and more people are willing to talk about what happened and who is responsible.
Well, and I'd like to see some accountability myself.
You and me both.
We'll see where it goes. Jamil, just a minute remaining here. What would you like to add about these photographs ordered by the court to be released? How long will it take, and will this be appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court, do you believe?
Well, we don't know yet, because the government does have some time to decide whether to seek rehearing en banc or whether to petition the Supreme Court. We think that these photographs should have been released a long time ago, and we're hopeful that the government will finally release them. But who knows? I think that one important thing to recognize is that the photographs aren't the only documents that are still being withheld here. There are a lot of documents relating to the Bush administration's torture policies that are still being withheld. There are legal memos written by the Office of Legal Counsel. There are those videotapes of the CIA's waterboarding. There are photographs beyond the ones that are at issue in this particular appeal. There are interrogation directives that applied to special forces active in Afghanistan and Iraq. So there are all kinds of documents that are still being withheld. Our Freedom of Information Act litigation has been successful by some measures. There are more than 100,000 pages of government documents that have been released as a result. But it's important to remember how much is still being kept secret.
Yeah. Jamil, thanks for your work, and you're not going to stop, are you?
Absolutely not.
All right. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Jamil Jaffer at the American Civil Liberties Union. Jonathan Hafitz has just joined the ACLU. He was previously at the Brennan Center at New York University. He's going to join us next to talk about some other developments at Guantanamo Bay, including the resignation of one of the attorneys at the show trials. That's coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's Progressive Voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself!
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet?
Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Detectives? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I think it's the ACLU that does a damn fine job of watching the detectives and others who are supposed to be protecting us and often don't. Jonathan Hafitz has moved over to the ACLU. Previously, he talked with us many times from his perch at the Brennan Center for the Law at New York University. Jonathan, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
How is it? You got a corner office with a view now?
Well, it's terrific. It's a wonderful organization. I'm just happy to be there. And, I'm fighting for the civil liberties and basic constitutional rights of Americans.
Well, let me just point out you didn't answer my question, so you've got a cubicle with a view of the fire escape.
No, somewhere in between.
Well, let's talk about the people you fight for and are on our behalf for. An interesting development last week, Lieutenant Colonel Daryl Vandeveld, an Army Reserve officer, terminated his one-year duty at Guantanamo, and he seems to feel that these show trials are rigged.
Yeah, well, he's I think he's effectively right. This is another example of a rebellion even from, within the military at the lack of due process and basic, as you use the word, show trials, the kind of sham proceedings that have gone on at Guantanamo and have so kind of degraded American legal tradition and America's reputation.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was supposed to be representing Mohammad Jawad, a Pakistani-born Afghan who is accused of tossing a hand grenade at a jeep carrying two American servicemen. Jawad was a teenager at the time, and he has asserted that he was mistreated, and he had the sleep deprivation program and some of the other techniques applied to him. Do you know what the critical issues are that caused Lieutenant Colonel Vandeveld to vacate his post?
I think it's a couple. I think one is it was undue influence by the, appointees, political appointees who were supposed to be not get involved in the trial process and put undue pressure on the prosecutor that prevented the prosecutor from doing what the prosecutor thought was in the best interest of the commissions and the government, which in this case might have been working out some kind of plea deal. And secondly, because of the use of coercive interrogation tactics that bordered on, if not amounted to torture, and the evidence that was illegally gained through those tactics.
Mm-hmm. One of the other stories coming out of Gitmo is that Ramzi bin al-Shib refuses to leave his cell. And I can kind of imagine that he doesn't want to participate in the kind of trial that you've just described. I might hunker down in the fetal position in my cell if that's the only choice you have to express your lack of participation in what I consider to be a monkey trial.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly understandable. It's the trials have demonstrated sham. The only, the one person that's convicted so far through a trial, Salim Hamdan, he's convicted, sentenced to time served, and he remains in custody because the government says, well, even if he's even if you were acquitted, we can still hold him as enemy combatants. I mean, what kind of system is this where you go on trial, and if you win in the trial, they still keep you locked up anyway, because they just say, well, you may not be convicted, but you're still an enemy combatant.
Yeah. And so then the bizarre development is that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed appears to have spoken up in court and offered to the judge to go have a talk with Ramzi bin al-Shib and try to persuade him to participate. This seems a little bizarre.
I mean, it does. I think, it's an example of what kinds of things that go on when you venture into an area like this. You kind of make up justice and the rules on the fly. You avoid established tradition, established rules in the criminal justice system or even in the military court-martial system. And you just have this kind of system where everything is just kind of done on an ad hoc basis and without any principles. You get this kind of circus-like quality.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, what else has been developing at Guantanamo Bay that might not have made the news so far?
Well, the one of the other issues is the petitions that are being, the habeas corpus petitions that are being now litigated after the Supreme Court's decision in this past June, saying that the detainees there had a right to go to court, a right to habeas corpus review. These cases are going forward. Unfortunately, they are going forward slower than they should be, and I think, there have yet to be the hearings that need to be held, and this kind of delay, continued delay in the process for people who've been locked up for more than 6 years in many cases, and I think this is becoming an increasing concern.
Jonathan, with your colleague Jamil Jaffer a few minutes ago, I was referencing the latest information that really affirms the role of high-level administration officials in developing and implementing the policies related to detention, related to enhanced interrogation techniques. I call that torture. And it shows the direct involvement of Secretary Rice. And I'm also working my way through Barton Gellman's new book about Vice President Cheney. It's called Angler. And in it, he describes the back and forth with essentially Rumsfeld and Cheney with his associate David Addington, really calling the dance and orchestrating these moves that defied a presidential directive in 2004 to revisit these policies. And Rice apparently was trying to carry out the president's order, but was repeatedly thwarted by both Rumsfeld and Cheney. At one point, when Rummy failed to show up for the third meeting in a row, Gellman reports that the secretary was seen sobbing and crying as she left this meeting that had to be canceled. What can you tell us about the culpability of high-ranking officials, and will they ever be called to account for it?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think accountability is crucial. I think the high-level officials have been involved in the various aspects, in some cases all the aspects, of this this detention, this illegal detention interrogation system, holding people for years without due process, engaging in abusive tactics that I agree with you in many instances are, in fact, torture. And this was done at the highest level of the administration, including, in some instances, Secretary of State Rice was involved at the meeting of the key principals early on in launching the CIA's enhanced interrogation program, the state-sanctioned torture program. But the key forces and the stalwarts behind this were Vice President Cheney, David Addington. We know this, it's just a question of whether they're going to be held accountable for their legal violations, for what they believe in some instances constitute war crimes or conspiracy to commit war crimes, or whether this is going to go unpunished. I think it's important for everyone and for America not to allow this to go on without some kind of accountability, because if that does happen, there is some degree to which it vindicates the illegality that have been carried out if we don't hold those who are responsible accountable in one way or another.
And I also believe that the broad silence in the American public signals our assent, our permission for these illegal acts.
That's right.
I will not give that permission.
Yeah.
All right, Jonathan.
There are a lot of sectors that are people that are upset about it, but you're right. If America doesn't act, and Congress, the will of the people, does not act, and that does, in some sense, signal.
Jonathan, thank you very much. Jonathan Haffetz at the ACLU.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's Fit and Get Rich.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Credit Market Rescue Plan is derailed in the House.
On this vote, the yeas are 205, the nays are 228. The motion is not adopted.
The stock market tanks.
This was the Dow's biggest one-day drop in history, down more than 775 points.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Wall Street was stunned today when supporters of the bailout failed to muster enough votes in the House. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus watched events unfold.
We saw the sell-off really pick up steam midday when news came to the floor that the House had rejected the bailout plan. I was on the floor of the exchange when that news came down, and traders were just looking at the television screens in shocked silence. They looked stunned. They just could not believe that this bailout plan was rejected at such a critical time for both Main Street and Wall Street.
Despite the vocal opposition of fiscal conservatives, the $700 billion bailout was expected to pass. It had the unanimous support of the leadership, but it lost by 23 votes. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The defeat stunned leaders of both parties who thought they had the votes to pass the bailout and avoid the economic disaster they kept warning of.
A collapse, the likes of which we have not seen in this country since the 1930s.
Adam Putnam, another Republican leader, said the risk was too great, but by 2-1, their rank-and-file members, all of whom stand for re-election in just over a month, said no. Mike Pence of Indiana.
Stand up for limited government and economic freedom. Stand up for the American taxpayer.
So now it's back to the drawing board.
While the bill has failed, the crisis has not disappeared.
House Democratic Leader Steny Hoyer says they'll keep trying to come up with something that can pass. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Because of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, the House is in recess till noon on Thursday. The What Next story after this.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs. And there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-2-GM-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
President Bush was among the first to react, saying he's disappointed by the House vote.
Our strategy is to continue to address this economic situation head on, and we'll be working to develop a strategy that will enable us to continue to move forward.
Later, Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson came out.
I will continue to work with congressional leaders to find a way forward to pass a comprehensive plan to stabilize our financial system and protect the American people by limiting the prospects of further deterioration in our economy.
There's finger-pointing on Capitol Hill and on the campaign trail. Republican John McCain said now is not the time to fix the blame, but he blames the Democrats.
Our leaders are expected to leave partisanship at the door and come to the table to solve our problems. Senator Obama and his allies in Congress infused unnecessary partisanship into the process.
Barack Obama urged both sides to step up to the plate.
It's important for the American public and for the markets to stay calm because things are never smooth in Congress, and to understand that it will get done.
The Dow's loss of 777 points was its biggest one-day point drop ever. It closed at 10,365. The broader market was also sharply lower. The S&P 500 fell nearly 9%. The NASDAQ down 199 points. What's the average person to do? Al Goldman is chief market strategist at Wachovia Securities.
It's very important for all investors. First of all, don't panic. Investment decisions made in an extremely emotional state of mind are almost always wrong.
Wachovia's banking operations were sold to Citigroup today in a $2.1 billion deal brokered by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. The deal prevented Wachovia's collapse. The FDIC says all depositors are fully protected. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
1 gallon of fuel in a lawnmower will mow about half your backyard. A gallon of fuel in an ice cream truck will disappoint a lot of kids. But a gallon of fuel in a CSX train can move 1 ton of freight 423 miles. Just think what that can do for the environment. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Guys, it's time your clothes worked as hard as you do. Come to the men's store inside JCPenney and get unbeatable deals on Stafford. They've got everything you need for the office. Right now, Stafford suit separates, sport coats, dress trousers, and dress shirts are all 40 to 50% off. And be sure to check out Stafford Performance, clothing that works hard to keep you looking your best. Work smart, dress smarter with Stafford. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
The guy grunts and makes $1 million.
What?
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show because we're supposed to.
Hold your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know, you know. I go psycho, remedy, joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy with it. That's it, now honey, honey, come ride. DKNY, all up in my eyes. You got a strata, bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to your...
Later this hour, we think it'll be fun. Wynn McCormick will join us, the author of a new book called You Don't Know Me, A Citizen's Guide to Republican Family Values.
I don't like it.
And I just flipped to the F section, which covers foot signals and fondling. And what about, let's see, in the E section? Yeah, emails from Congressman Foley. But first, it's time for our weekly visit with Cliff Schechter. He's the author of The Real McCain, and he's been following John McCain, not stalking him, just following him very carefully. And his book is The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. Cliff, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Who do you think came out ahead in that debate on Friday?
Well, I think Obama did, certainly. I would have liked him at times. I think for every time McCain said to him, you know, you don't understand, and some other condescending tripe like that, I would have preferred if Obama had responded in a measured way, not in an angry tone like McCain. It would have just said, you know, would have used words like erratic, lack of judgment, impulsive to describe some of the things about McCain.
Yeah.
I did love that section where he sort of looked him in the eye and said, you were wrong. And I think the body language and everything of John McCain was horrible. He was obviously a mixture of nervous, angry, about to explode. Perhaps he hadn't eaten before he went out there and he was hungry. I don't know. There was definitely something on his mind there.
You mean he didn't have ribs on Cindy's jet with a Bud Light on the way down? He always has ribs before a debate. I heard that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if it was Cindy's jet. I heard he was trying to get on Charlie Keating's, but they don't know where that was. I would have liked it. When I watched the debate, I felt like they came out relatively even on the substance of things, except for McCain obviously got a couple of things wrong. It's good to know the leader of Pakistan by name, for example.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he really say horse ship? And it wasn't a P, but a T.
I haven't been able to determine that he definitely did that. So.
Yeah, somebody did an enhanced audio track, and the video's up at YouTube. And when McCain is being hammered by Obama about his recent lapse over the Prime Minister of Spain, you can hear McCain saying something under his breath. And it's either, of course it is, or horse.
Yeah, that's what I didn't feel like, you know, I know, I definitively know. What I do know is obviously he's such a condescending man. He all the traits that I knew were there, and all the traits that sadly I've written about, researched about, and everything. He displayed them all.
Mm-hmm.
The petulance, the arrogance, the impatience, all the different character problems that I have tried to argue in my book, and ever since then would make him a horrible choice for president.
Mm-hmm.
And people got to see that right there, as we saw the whole week when he was busy suspending campaign, but not really suspending it, saying he's going to Washington, but not really going to Washington. Saying he's canceling interviews, but not really canceling interviews. I mean,
the real blunder was stiffing Letterman.
Yeah, man, Letterman looked at the news feed and saw that he was over there with Katie Kerr.
Right.
You don't want to mess with Letterman on that stuff. Obviously, I don't think it was a very good performance, and I think most polls out now, and I never trust one poll, but I think if a preponderance of them say the same thing, I tend to believe them, and most of them have shown that now that there have been 2 days of samples since the debates, and they shows that Obama's lead, in fact, increasing.
Yeah.
So and all the polls afterwards obviously showed that he won. Although one of the funniest moments was I turned around to all the different stations, and I turned to Fox for a little bit, and Sean Hannity was trumpeting a text message poll where people were texting him that Obama was losing 85-15 or something.
Uh-huh.
And he was acting like that. And I think once Kaitlyn Barber came on and didn't seem to get that wasn't a scientific poll. He really seemed to believe that was a real poll. It wasn't just people sitting there American Idol style. So if we do vote eventually, as one does in American Idol, which is you can text in as many times as you can.
Right.
In fact, Sean Hannity might get his candidate elected.
We'll come back to the Fox kids in a minute, because I was in the kitchen for a while on Saturday, and I did sneak a peek over there at the Fox channel. But first of all, a couple of reactions to the debate. One is I'm gratified that the general perception is that Obama either tied McCain or came out ahead, depending on how you rate that. A friend of mine wrote a piece at Daily Coast that did change my mind a little bit or inform me a little bit about the issue of likability, and that a lot of people make their choice for president, even though it's not the way I would do it, on how much they like the person. And McCain certainly came across as gruff, an angry grandpa, very tense and fiery.
He played the role of Al Gore in 2000.
And Obama came across, I think, balanced. He showed that he can be an effective leader and that he can take a hit.
And it's important to note that was important for him to do as the new guy on the stage.
Yeah, and if he'd been seen just, you know, poking the old man in the eyes, that wouldn't have been effective either. But the missing element here is humor. And I think Obama has a sense of humor. I've seen him laugh. He's got a beautiful smile when he opens it up. And I was there screaming cues to him, and he just wasn't listening. But, you know, when the issue was on the economy, at a certain point, he should have turned to him and said, John, you know, you really cracked me up when you positioned yourself as a reformer and a regulator, because for 25 years you've been the king of deregulation. Remember Charlie Keating? And, you know, you are a stalwart guy who believes in the voluntary regulation that got Wall Street into this problem. He wrote a column about it recently saying that you wanted the healthcare industry to adopt the same deregulation as the banks.
Right. And said something like, you know, now you're a born-again regulator. You know, I think Maureen Dowd had a good line in her column, which is, you know, that's like the arson. This thing that they want to put out the fire.
Yeah.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
A line like that would have been great.
And so I felt that Obama was effective in what he did do, but he stayed inside the lines at all times. And McCain was willing to go right outside them and deliver a punch, even if it wasn't true.
Right.
And the condescension that you described, I think, was certainly present, but I think it played against him. And here's the third point, and this comes from watching Fox. Frank Luntz is the pollster that all the Republicans love.
And he and a focus group. Yeah.
And he had his focus group of independents, and they were half people who voted for Kerry in 04, half who voted for Bush. And they overwhelmingly rejected McCain and embraced Obama. They had a few quibbles with each one, but what was gratifying to me is that it did appear that the people Obama was talking to, which is not you or me, but a broader swath of the electorate that hasn't been paying attention through the primaries, I think he scored very well.
Right.
And so
I wasn't trying to belittle the importance of that, because I do think everything you're saying is true. He needed likability counts, showing that he was knowledgeable, showing that he was statesmanlike. And I think those were all important things that I still think, though, that he's got such a calm demeanor, he's got such control over himself, unlike McCain, that he could have delivered a message to me which would have really been the nail in McCain's coffin. A there you go again kind of thing, or, when McCain would lie about him, or in my opinion would have been a sort of McCain, John, that was very impulsive of you, or John, that was, those kinds of things. That was an erratic move by you, and I think he could have done it in a way that wouldn't have come off nasty like McCain, because he isn't that way.
Yeah. The other thing is that Obama overused a debate tactic, and I was a high school champion debater, so I will offer you this from my own expertise, and that is, it can be effective to parry your opponent by saying you're right about a little thing and then establish that they're wrong about something bigger. And so, if he'd only done that occasionally, it would have been okay. But the Republicans released a video after the debate, and a dozen times he said, "John's right. You're right. Senator McCain is right."
Much.
And he overdid that, and then he did the Me Too without explanation when McCain tried to ding him on offshore drilling and the expansion of nuclear power. And without any elaboration, Obama just dropped in there that he's okay with offshore drilling and he's okay with nuclear power. And that may appeal to that broader independent group and the voters he's actually trying to get. But he does have to worry about abusing his base. And I felt a little abused when I heard those throwaway lines.
Well, at least you weren't abused in the manner of David Vitter showing up at certain types of establishments. So. You can look at it that way, Peter. But I would have liked it more too, and not because I'm his base and I'm sitting here and I'm drooling, thinking you better hit him, you better hit him. I just felt like they started to make a great argument against McCain's character,
mm-hmm.
and McCain has shown himself, and after a week in which McCain showed himself to be so erratic. So off the charts in terms of his impulsiveness. I just think hammering that home in a respectful way, not in a McCain condescending, nasty way,
right.
but pointing out to people when McCain said certain things about the economy and Iraq and foreign policy, that he flipped around, he jumped from position to position, he was impulsive, he was erratic,
mm-hmm.
and making that message stick, because if people know that, I think really that's the disqualifying thing about McCain.
Well, and here's the other aspect for me, Cliff, is I believe that these debates They become urban legends in many ways based on the polling and the pundits. And I was uncomfortable with both Kerry and Gore in debates that I believe they won on Senate debating scorecards in 2000 and 2004. But the visceral exchange and the perception of the viewer was different from that.
Yeah.
And so my fear is that 2 weeks from now, the only thing that people will remember from that debate is that McCain landed some punches and Obama really only landed one, the one about Iraq.
Well, what I'm hoping is they'll remember that McCain was an angry old guy who obviously hadn't poured himself the right amount of Ovaltine before he went out there. that's what I'm hoping people remember, and that means that they've started to form this perception of him as a sort of bitter, angry, erratic guy and not someone to be trusted in delicate negotiations or in formulating important economic policy and the rest. And, of course, today just reinforced all of that when McCain laughingly tried to blame Obama for what went on when the Democrats promised 120 votes and delivered 140, and the Republicans promised, 100 votes and only delivered 65.
Yeah, we'll pick up there as we continue with Cliff Schechter. There's also a big expose in the weekend New York Times about John McCain's ties to Indian gambling. They like to call it gaming. We'll continue in a moment with Cliff Schechter here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
And good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsworth with your KRXA 540 traffic report in the afternoon of Monday, September 29th. Starting in King City, we've got a hazard reported. It's a big rig with its triangle out on the right-hand side. That's at the intersection of State Road 198 and State Road 25, just east of 25 there on 198. Moving north to Monterey, we've got twin collisions reported, no injuries at the intersection of Highway 1 and Highway 68. One of those collisions is right on Highway 68. The other is on Highway 1, southbound, just north of 68. And finally, on Highway 1, further south in Carmel, southbound at the intersection of Rio Road, we've got a collision. Slow going there. Two vehicles on the right-hand side. Enjoy your afternoon, enjoy your commute, and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up only on AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bruce, sing it. We continue with Cliff Schecter, author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't.
And Cliff, we could talk for hours about the debate, but I want to move on to this lengthy expose in the Sunday New York Times about John McCain's links to the gambling industry. And gosh, it's those same fine lobbyists who represent Saakashvili in Georgia and our phone companies and all kinds of wonderful special interests.
Yeah. Well, if we just would sort of now stipulate the point that these guys have probably represented everybody on all sides of any issue, being that they'll take money from anybody willing to pay, particularly they'll give you a better rate if you're a dictator,
mm-hmm.
then we would under, I mean, you know, these things can trickle out forever. Because the gambling industry is an interesting one because it pertains so much to McCain's personal behavior and the fact that he's quite a craftsman from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is, you know, I'm not surprised by this, as Wolf, you know, if we were to look into these guys, I'm sure we've already talked about their ties to big oil and big tobacco and every other big out there they'll be tied to, because that is who they are.
Well, it's also linked to Big Jack Abramoff.
Yeah, that was an interesting piece about how some of the more rivals of Abramoff, and that's perhaps the reason why John McCain did what he did. I pointed out in my book, I didn't find that out, so that's interesting stuff. What I did point out in my book was the fact that, you know, he never called any actual sitting members of Congress. He never made them the subject of his investigation.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially ran it when he was doing the investigation into Abramoff, went after a couple of GOP consultants and others who had gone after him, like Ralph Reed, in 2000, but really ran a protection racket for anybody who had been involved and was an actual member of the body there with a Republican.
Yeah.
So it was a joke, and the fact that he goes around bragging about what he did with Abramoff is a joke too, and I think this lays that, makes that on, and it makes that, you know, available for everybody to see how much he hangs out with these lobbyists and the conflicts of interest that are inherent there, and the fact that he'll help some tribes against others and some groups against others, he's part of this whole thing.
Yeah. And, Cliff, I've gotten a reliable report from a source that I can't name, and this source works on Capitol Hill for a Republican. And the report is that there was a McCain meltdown on Thursday when he charged to the rescue of the Bush bailout bill and, of course, went to that White House meeting and said very little, offered no assistance there. But apparently in one of the closed-door meetings on Thursday afternoon, he blew that infamous McCain stack.
Interesting. Well, that's no surprise to me. I've spoke a lot about his temper in my book, and I have since then. It's there. Everything, you know, from the physical assaults on people we've talked about to using profanity, to, you know, directed at his wife, directed at other members of the Republican caucus. This is who he is. This is a pattern of who the guy has been for the longest period of time. And he was lucky enough that he was able to cover it up behind this false image of being a maverick and a truth teller for all these years. But he is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's an angry old guy. When he doesn't get his way or anybody crosses him or even slightly disagrees with him, he tries to destroy them, whether it's physically or ruin their careers, get them fired. Verbally assaults them. This is who the man is.
Mm-hmm. And Cliff, I forwarded to you an email that I've gotten from six different directions today, and I can't vouch for the credibility or authenticity of this, but it sounds real. And it's somebody who claims they were vacationing on the Turtle Island in the Fiji chain, and that in 2000, the McCain family, John, Cindy, and their kids, were there in the same group of bungalows, and they describe a number of unflattering things about Senator McCain. What do you think of this, and does it ring true with what you know about him?
Yeah, I mean, everything you had in that email. First of all, I wasn't able to find a contact number, but I looked up the woman's name, who was signed at the bottom of the email, and she, in fact, is a real person, and where it said that she worked, she worked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that's yet confirmation. It's certainly not full confirmation. It could be somebody putting something under her name without her knowing it, so someone would have to speak to her. But what she was talking about is sexist behavior towards women, making comments about their weight, his flirtations with women. Look, we know how he left his first wife. It was a flirtation with Cindy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we know that he's said nasty things to people, so saying things about people's weight. I mean, you know, he almost has come out from different groups that are POW activist mm-hmm. groups, that he almost assaulted somebody in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I mean, we know all these things. They've all been reported. So to think that...
Cliff Schechter, I'm out of time. Talk to you.
Okay, always a pleasure, Peter.
Thank you, sir.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
bread, or freedom. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The no-bailout conservatives in Congress have made it clear. Even if the predictions of economic disaster are true, they are willing to risk it. Nobody has yet disclosed the exact litany of horrors this deal is supposed to prevent, but Representative David Dreyer, one of the Republicans who supports the rescue, let one unsettling detail drop.
And I want to make sure that when people who have deposits go to their automatic teller machines, that those dollars are there.
I went to my ATM this morning just to check. So this is about an America where a large part of the middle class would see the inside of a food bank for the first time, where you'd camp in the state parks on weekdays, not just weekends. But no bailout conservatives, like Thaddeus McCotter of Michigan, sincerely believe that if that's what it takes to keep the government away from the market, so be it. If the greatest generation could survive it, so can we.
And it has always been the temptation, in a crisis especially, to sacrifice liberty for short-term promises of prosperity. And it was no mistake that during the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution, the slogan was peace, land, and bread. Today, you are being asked to choose between bread and freedom. I suggest that the people on Main Street have said they prefer their freedom. And I am with them.
I would submit that most people expect both, Congressman. And tell me, as we knock on doors around the world, offering to share this wonderful system where you have to choose between bread and freedom, just how big an army will we need to get them to say yes? Now this.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
There is no issue that requires action at the global, national, and local levels more than climate change. We are already feeling the impacts. You are invited to attend an excellent, free United Nations Association program called Responding to Climate Change on the Global, National, and Local Levels. This is on Wednesday, October 1st. At 7 p.m. in the beautiful Steinbeck Forum of the Monterey Conference Center in downtown Monterey. The keynote speaker is Reed Detchen of Ted Turner's United Nations Foundation in Washington, a true expert on global and national climate change policy. Also an excellent local panel with Mayor Chuck De La Sala of Monterey on the role of local governments, Bill Hayward of Hayward Lumber on the role of local businesses, and Megan Tolbert of Citizens for Sustainable Monterey County on the role of community groups. This is a free program. Just come to the Monterey Conference Center on Wednesday, October 1st at 7 p.m. More at unamontereybay.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is brought to you by your local conservative gay Republican congressman.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN. No.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away. Or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
The tale of Larry Craig and many other tales, Republican tales, are covered in this new book, You Don't Know Me, A Citizen's Guide to Republican Family Values. And Portland-based writer Wynn McCormick joins us right now. Hello, Wynn.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Glad to be on the show.
Well, I hope you don't mind our sponsor.
I don't. I like that intro.
Now, I was looking through your book, and you have this indexed in so many different ways. Where does Larry Craig show up? Is it secret bathroom sex?
Well, first of all, Larry Craig provided the title of the book, which is You Don't Know Me, A Citizen's Guide to Republican Family Values. You Don't Know Me is a quote from him.
Mm-hmm.
After he claimed he was not gay, his hometown newspaper, the Idaho Statesman, did an investigation. They turned up eight of his ex-male lovers, and one of them said that Larry said to him after sex, remember, you don't know me. You haven't been here. You've never seen me. You don't know me.
Yeah.
So that's where we got the title. And he appears in here under several headings. Bathrooms is one of them, I think.
Right, yeah. Well, I did find him under toe-tapping, too, I think.
Yeah, toe-tapping, I think so. Closeted, I think he's under that, too.
Yeah. Now, since you know about all the details of these tawdry episodes, we know that Larry was in the stall. We know that he adopted a wide stance so that his pressed trousers would not slide to the floor.
Uh-huh.
But did he actually play it safe and use an ass gasket?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Maybe he did.
I mean, it would be telling. I know I'd like to know.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
What is the status of his case? I understood there was an appeal, and they're still trying to change his guilty plea, right?
You know, I don't know the status of that. I know that he had made a settlement initially, and then when it came out in the paper, he said, I'm innocent and I'm going to challenge it. But I don't actually know where that went. I don't think he has much of a case to make, so maybe he dropped it.
Well, he's still there.
He's still in Congress, but there's no way to remove a sitting senator, really, except in an election. His colleagues on the Republican side tried to shame him out, but he wouldn't go. So I guess he's there until the end of his term, but he won't be reelected.
Well, but he didn't have his house remodeled by Vico.
No, he didn't.
And Ted Stevens probably too old for any sexual favors, so
he
took the remodel.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
They offered him a model, like an Elliott Spitzer model or a remodel, and he took the re.
Yeah,
so, Wynn, what prompted you to do this? Do you have, like, you know, a desk that's littered with clippings and printouts of these stories, and you just had to do something with it?
Well, I saw a lot of these things happening in pretty much a two-year period between 2005 and 2007. Larry Craig was only one of them who was uncovered in that period. There was Ted Haggard also, who was president of the National Association of Evangelicals, who turned out to have been consorting with a male prostitute and using drugs with him. There was Dr. David Hager, who was an advisor of the Bush administration on women's reproductive health, who was accused by his wife of forcing her into unwanted sex acts and raping her when she was asleep from narcolepsy. There was, of course, Gary Aldridge, a top advisor to Jerry Falwell, who asphyxiated himself in two rubber wetsuits. And then one of my favorites was Neil Horsley, who bragged on the air, on a radio interview, as a matter of fact, about having sex with animals.
Mm.
So there were so many of them, and they were getting so bizarre that I thought there was something to look at there.
And is this essentially a testimonial to conservative hypocrisy in this country?
Yeah, that's basically it. They're preaching family values on the one hand, and they're doing the opposite on the other. And I take this to be a symbol of what they do in general, that they profess one set of principles but do another, not just in the area of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say they're frugal, they want to balance the budget. We know what's happened there.
And Saturday Night Live actually had some pretty good skits. One of them over the weekend was hookers in New York who are going to stand by their men of Wall Street and give them discounts during this time of trouble.
I missed that one.
Yeah, but they should get some warrants or something.
I know there were a lot of ladies of the night standing by in Minneapolis and St. Paul for the Republican convention, but I don't really know how good their business turned out to be.
We're talking with Wynn McCormick. His new book is You Don't Know Me, A Citizen's Guide to Republican Family Values. It's chock full and indexed with these stories of Republican shenanigans and escapades. And here's one that I didn't recall, Wynn. And we just talked to Bob Barr a few weeks ago. He's the Libertarian candidate for president, and he was one of the guys who led the charge to impeach Bill Clinton over the blue dress and related antics. And, gosh, I didn't realize that. Here you report that in 1998, wait a minute, the episode occurred before this, but he was at a benefit for the Leukemia Society, and his table mates paid $200 for Barr to lick whipped cream off of two buxom women.
Yeah, off their breasts, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that we thought that was an abusing little anecdote. He also has been married several times, and he also countenanced a... abortion by his wife when he's anti-abortion. He's far from being the worst of the hypocrites, but he belonged in there because he was so active in the attempt to impeach President Clinton.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, the posture that he adopts now as a defender of the Constitution and somebody who believes that Bush and Cheney should be impeached helps redeem him a little bit.
No, he's very good on civil liberties and on the First Amendment. There's no question about it. He is one of the true conservatives on that issue who has opposed the Patriot Act and other attempts of the President Bush to outflank the law.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about Ken Calvert. I just flipped to him. He's a congressman from California. Is he still in office?
Tim Calvert?
Ken Calvert.
Oh, Ken Calvert.
Yeah.
I have to confess, I've forgotten his case.
Okay, he's the one who was with a hooker, and when the police came up, he tried to drive away and pull up his pants, and then he denied knowing that the woman was a prostitute, and he changed his story saying, yeah, she's a prostitute, but she wasn't working that night.
Well, yes, we have a lot of cases like that where they were caught red-handed and they made up a fishy story. He is not one that I remember very well, but there's a number of stories like that. They're all pretty amusing.
Yeah.
We have the one guy who was caught in a homosexual act with a black man, and he said that he had submitted to that because there were several other black men in the vicinity, and he was afraid if he didn't, he'd be beaten up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of rationales for it.
Yeah. So in your memory, how far back do you go? Was Packwood one of your first, Republican sexual activists?
Yes, we included Senator Packwood, even though he was in sort of a previous era. But I call him the granddaddy of contemporary Republican sex scandals.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fit in the time frame that we use, but he... He certainly had to be included.
Now, I'm just flipping to the appendix of your book here, and you have a document from the court case of Bill O'Reilly.
Yes,
and his
do.
Sexual harassment complaint.
Yes, we do.
I thought this was all quashed and hushed up, and she was paid to never say anything again.
Well, she basically was, but nevertheless, this transcript is part of the public record. The original complaint that she made. It was settled out of court. We don't know the details of the settlement. We assume she got paid a hefty amount of money so that this kind of testimony didn't come out in open court.
Yeah. And
it's one of the funnier things, I think, that we've included in the book.
Uh-huh. And I haven't read it, so what's funny about it?
Well, that is not one of the things I could actually quote from.
Yeah, okay.
He makes a number of propositions to this woman over the phone and in person, and they're extreme and some of them pretty ridiculous.
Well, maybe he was just rehearsing material for another kid's book he was writing.
Yes, maybe he would. He actually did write a pornographic novel in his younger days.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
So maybe he was doing that.
All right. When I do have proof here that Ken Calvert is still a member of Congress. He was reelected to his eighth term last time with 60% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there are a lot of open-minded people there.
Well, there are, in certain districts there are. David Vitter is still the senator from in good standing, unlike Larry Craig from Louisiana. And, you know, some of them say that they've been forgiven by their wives and forgiven by God. And some of the constituents believe that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the appropriate route when an elected official gets caught or, you know, is implicated in some sort of sexual activity? What would you have done for, say, Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick of Detroit with those hundreds of text messages that were pretty clear that he and his chief of staff were having a real good time outside the office?
Yeah,
well, maybe even
were.
Inside the office. I don't know.
Well, he was having an affair with someone in his office. There's no question about that. Now, you know, that's not actually against the law. Where he fell afoul of the law was lying about it under oath during an investigation. And he dug himself deeper and deeper with more and more laws. That's what happened there. I think if he just fessed up to what he'd been doing, he might have been able to stay in office. He probably wouldn't have been reelected. But where he got into trouble was you know, perjuring himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he also tried to hush up his cops, and that caused like an $8 million settlement, and Detroit couldn't afford it.
I think that's what actually started the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you're in San Francisco today, and one of the interesting characters we have here is a guy named Willie Brown. And Willie has been separated from his wife for 30 years, has been squiring much younger women who he clearly is not married to for as many years. And he even fathered a child with his Caucasian fundraising staffer while he was mayor of San Francisco. And when it was reported in the news, he said yes. And it was a 1 or 2 day story. And it went away. And at almost the same time, the mayor of San Jose was accused of having an affair with his press secretary, and he tried to deny it and dodge it and ultimately almost was run out of San Jose on a rail.
Yeah. Well, I guess that shows us that San Francisco is a pretty tolerant town. And maybe they admired Willie for sticking by his wife all these years, despite his extramarital activities.
Well, I also think that it was just not a secret. And so he didn't really have a whole lot to hide, and when he didn't attempt to hide it, there was no story.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess that's true. It's sort of like Governor Patterson in New York when he got into office, confessing everything right off the bat so that the press wouldn't have any stories to write.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Wynn McCormick. His new book is out, You Don't Know Me, A Citizen's Guide to Republican Family Values. If you have a question or a comment or a favorite Republican you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
And good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsworth with your KRXA 540 traffic report in the afternoon of Monday, September 29th. Starting in King City, we've got a hazard reported. It's a big rig with its triangle out on the right-hand side. That's at the intersection of State Road 198 and State Road 25, just east of 25 there on 198. Moving north to Monterey, we've got twin collisions reported. No injuries at the intersection of Highway 1 and Highway 68. One of those collisions is right on Highway 68. The other is on Highway 1, southbound, just north of 68. And finally, on Highway 1, further south in Carmel, southbound at the intersection of Rio Road, we've got a collision. Slow going there. Two vehicles on the right-hand side. Enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy your commute. And enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up only on AM 540.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know, it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground. We're just trying to be greedy.
I don't know who did that song either. The Monkees had the original. We're talking about Republicans in the nicest possible way. The book is You Don't Know Me, A Citizen's Guide to Republican Family Values. Wynn McCormick is the author. And are you also the publisher, Wynn?
Yes, it's a book of my publishing company, Tin House Books.
Well, you got to tell us more. What do you publish at Tin House?
Well, we publish a magazine called Tin House, which is a literary journal primarily. It's a quarterly.
Uh-huh.
And then out of that come some of the books we publish, which have been primarily literary books until now.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to publish nonfiction,
which
this is an example of.
Okay. What else do you have coming out in the nonfiction political category?
Well, we're just getting off the ground with that. We don't have mm-hmm. anything slated yet. I'm blogging on this subject on youdontknowmebook.com.
Okay.
And I think out of that might come another book, because it's amazing how many Republican sex scandals have come along just in the past couple of months.
Yeah, they do. Well, I'm going to avoid that phrase.
And they asked me to write a blog to promote the book, and I thought, well, I don't know what I'm going to write about.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting set to have to start, and I was looking for a subject, and all of a sudden there was this story about the Attorney General of Alabama. I don't know if you heard about him.
Oh, yeah, I did.
He was an anti-gay crusader who was caught in bed by his wife with a young male member of his staff.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first blog. And since then, there have been a couple of these things every week. There's the scandal at the Department of the Interior. I'm sure you've read about that.
They were partying down, collecting royalties. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. I'll trade you 40,000 acres for an eighth of blow.
Yeah, there you go. Or for some good sex.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we've got Dave on the line from Monterey listening on KRXA. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, hi, exactly. That's what I wanted to talk about is the Mukasey and the boys, are they setting up roadblocks for investigations into this Interior Department scandal?
I think there's a couple of higher-ups who aren't going to be prosecuted by the Justice Department. it's one of those cases where the lower level people, it looks like, will get prosecuted, but not the higher ups, per the decision of the Attorney General. It reminds you a little bit, although it's not comparable.
It's not much in the media.
Yeah.
And coming up right after 5 o'clock, Melanie Sloan will be with us, Dave, and she's going to update us on the U.S. Attorney situation. The Justice Department Inspector General said that Alberto Gonzalez is goofy, but apparently it doesn't seem criminal there.
Yeah, he's legally goofy.
Right, yeah.
Hey, thanks for another great show and great guest, Peter. See you later.
Okay, Dave, enjoyed it. Thanks for your call. 888-5-PETER-B, if you would like to join us, 888-573-8372. Now, Wynn, give me your best advice here, because I got another email today with details from the National Enquirer. They are now naming names, saying that Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska had a sexual affair with her husband's snow machine business partner while she was the mayor of Wasilla and hauling in all those earmarks. And this is one of those situations where we saw it play out with John Edwards. We knew the rumors about Senator Edwards. We knew his vociferous denials. But it really wasn't until the National Enquirer published it, and then he had an altercation with photographers at the Beverly Hills or Beverly Hilton, and that's when it finally went mainstream. So assuming that the National Enquirer is sufficiently lawyered up that they would not have published this without good cause, how do we in the independent media deal with this when the corporate media so far is taking a pass?
Well, I've been following these stories with great interest. I have the clip that you say was forwarded to you. I've read them all. I've got them in a file. Unfortunately, the National Enquirer has not been able to quote a single source by name so far, I don't think. And I'd love to use the material, but I'd like to have some corroboration of it before I do. The National Enquirer, despite some of the great successes, such as John Edwards, if that's what you want to call it, is still not considered a reputable paper. And I'd hate to be writing one of my blogs relying entirely on the National Enquirer, which is what I'd have to do at this point. But I believe what they're writing. I believe it's true.
Yeah. And do you think that the corporate media is making an effort to track it down, or do they kind of take a hands-off approach, saying, oh, I might get my nails dirty?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably the latter.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure. I mean, it's an interesting story. Of course, it happened a while ago, and her husband has forgiven her. So far, the National Enquirer has reported that. So, you know, maybe they don't regard it as that big a story because it took place so long ago. I mean, just as they don't regard, I guess, John McCain calling his wife in public obscene names as a story because it happened quite a while ago.
Yeah. Now, what about the Elliot Spitzer case? Do you think that, I mean, I don't care for the guy. I don't have any particular need to defend him. I stayed at the Mayflower floor below where he went and partied. That's my closest connection to the case. But a lot of people have raised questions about the nature of the discovery of his trysts, and that it was actually discovered through financial transactions that they monitored, showing that he transferred these large sums of money to pay hookers.
Well, they were investigating it because the large sums of money suggested the possibility that he was taking bribes. That was the initial reason for the investigation. And in the course of that, they stumbled across his activities with the escort rings. They say that normally something like that wouldn't be of great interest to law enforcement and wouldn't be pursued. And people ask questions, well, why was it pursued in his case, since that wasn't what they initially were looking for?
Well, and he's vigorously leaking right now that he tried to blow the whistle on the Wall Street meltdown, and that's why he was fingered. With his socks on, of course.
He might have tried to blow the whistle on it. That was one of his areas of interest, corruption on Wall Street. But I doubt that that had anything to do with why he was busted.
Well, he did go to Washington to testify and met the girl the night before. So he was multitasking. Wynn McCormick, it's great to meet you. You Don't Know Me, A Citizen's Guide to Republican Family Values. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, and you can read more about it on youdontknowmebook.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at Fit and...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Dow plunged 777 points today. Stocks lost more than $1 trillion in value after the House rejected the $700 billion rescue plan for the credit markets.
This is not a failure of a bill today. This is a failure of will, which is regrettable.
Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd, one of the prime movers behind the bailout, is bitterly disappointed. The bill went down 228 to 205. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
After the shocking vote, Congress adjourned until Thursday, with leaders saying they'll go back to the drawing board and look for a way to save a bailout they remain convinced is vital to preventing even more economic suffering. One of the leaders of the conservative Republicans who helped sink the bill, Jeb Hensarling of Texas, said they did the right thing and weren't deterred by the big drop on Wall Street.
Clearly, it is important to get it done quickly. But it is more important to get it done correctly.
He says they want market solutions without using taxpayer dollars. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, where President Bush was licking his wounds after suffering one of the biggest congressional defeats of his term in office.
I was disappointed in the vote with the United States Congress on the economic rescue plan.
But he's making it clear he's not giving up. He's summoned his economic advisors to a meeting to discuss what to do next. He says his strategy remains firm, in his words, to address the economic situation head-on.
CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason says the stock market is likely to keep heading south until Washington comes up with something.
The problem here is there continues to be a freeze-up in the credit markets, which basically means if you run a business, you can't get any short-term money, which means you may need to meet your payroll, and you can't. So you're going to have to start laying people off. And from what I'm hearing, that could start trickling through the economy in a matter of weeks, if something isn't done soon.
A package has not yet passed. And so one of the messages that I have to Congress is get this done. Democrats, Republicans, step up to the plate, get it done.
Barack Obama predicts it will get done. John McCain blames Obama and the Democrats for the delay.
I would hope that all our leaders, all of them, can put aside short-term political goals and do what's in the best interest of the American people.
It's gotten ugly in parts of the southeast where gasoline has been in short supply since Hurricanes Gustav and Ike. Reporter Pete Combs has the story from Atlanta.
Tanker trucks are delivering about a quarter of their usual loads to gas stations around North Georgia, and it's usually gone in just hours. One tanker driver I talked with says he's had to chase off angry drivers with a crowbar more than once since this whole thing started, and he's becoming more and more worried for his own safety.
Nationally, gasoline is readily available and prices continue to fall. The Energy Department says the average price for unleaded regular is down to $3.63 a gallon. This is CBS News.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Ah, wiper blades. Yeah, we get mad at them, we forget about them, and then it rains and we blame them for smudging our windshields. Well, go to Advance Auto Parts, okay? Buy any brand of blade you like and get another one for free after a mail-in rebate. Now, there's a limit of three per household, and the rebate is for the lowest-priced item. The offer ends on November 1st. That's how you stop the blame game, increase your visibility, and save some dough. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
It's not clear whether heart disease leads to depression, but depression certainly makes things worse, and a new report urges doctors to intervene early.
Screening heart patients for depression could substantially improve recoveries and reduce healthcare costs, the American Heart Association says.
Over 16 million people in the country have heart disease.
Up to 20% have major depression, which significantly raises their risk of a second heart attack.
People who are depressed are less likely to adhere to their medications.
Yale professor Judith Lichtman helped write new recommendations that call on doctors to ask simple questions about depression to determine which patients need help. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Nielsen Media Research says there were 52.4 million TV viewers for Friday night's debate between John McCain and Barack Obama. A big number, but not by presidential debate standards. The largest debate audience ever was 80.6 million for the October 1980 face-off between President Jimmy Carter and challenger Ronald Reagan. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy, photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now at CDs. And there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-2-GM-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
You can call in right now. This hour is yours, the Free Speech Zone. The First Amendment is still in, well, mostly in full effect. Your calls and comments welcome any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. If that sounds like no rules, pretty close. 888-5-PETER-B, that's my toll-free number. 1-888-573-8372. You want to talk about the bungled bailout in Washington? Or give me your reaction to the debate between Obama and McCain Friday night? My ears are wide open. And every week we like to check in on corruption in Washington. Any day now, it will vanish. But until then, we'll continue to talk to Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And Melanie, a big report coming from the Justice Department Inspector General released online today. And this kind of sounds like what Kyle Sampson said. Let's gum it to death and run out the clock.
That's exactly right, Peter. It's a report that's over 300 pages, 18 months in the making, and now what they say is they'll appoint a prosecutor to actually investigate this with somebody with subpoena authority and can get somebody before the grand jury, something that we recommended back in March of 2007.
And did the IG, I do have some regard for the Inspector General at Justice, who has been, you know, straight up on some issues. Do you believe that this report was straight, fair, and honest?
Oh, yes. I have nothing bad to say about either Glenn Fine, the Inspector General, or H. Marshall Jarrett, the Office of Professional Responsibility. They did the report together, but they are limited by the fact that they don't have subpoena power when they do their job. They can just invite people to speak with them, and lo and behold, a lot of people didn't want to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. And so what is your bottom line here? Will we get to the bottom of this? Will we learn the extent to which U.S. attorneys were fired for refusing to take orders from Washington, and U.S. attorneys held their jobs when they did take orders from Washington?
It's possible we'll find out, although it's entirely possible that we won't. But what is absolutely guaranteed is that we will not find out anytime before the end of the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm. And do you believe that the case of Don Siegelman in Alabama could open up the cans of worms related to the politics of the Justice Department, and in particular, U.S. attorneys who filed political cases in coordination with people like, Karl Rove?
You know, it's certainly possible. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals was certainly troubled by the Don Siegelman situation, and that's why he was released from jail in a remarkably unusual set of circumstances, and I think there is still much more to come on that. It's clear Karl Rove was behind a lot of politically motivated prosecutions, but it's also clear that there were some politically motivated terminations of these U.S. attorneys, and as well as perhaps the Siegelman prosecution. But it's also clear that other people, like New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici, were also responsible for the firing of New Mexico U.S. Attorney David Iglesias, and
right.
then Doc Hastings from Washington State has never actually taken any kind of hit for getting John McKay, the U.S. attorney there, fired. And I find that case particularly ironic because Hastings, who's on the Ethics Committee, which, as I said, never looked at his conduct, mm-hmm. has been calling for a special counsel to investigate Rangel.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting, and of course, this story is going to get buried because there's so much else going on in Washington right now. And I'm just disappointed because I wanted to see the House pass the Rove contempt citation that was recommended by the Judiciary Committee in August. There has been no action on that. Am I correct?
There has been no action. I think they're probably waiting to see what happens in the Myers-Bolton case, which is now before the Court of Appeals. Frankly, if they go through everything with Karl Rove that's going on with Myers-Bolton, they'll just end up in the same court position where it's still being decided by the courts whether or not he has to testify. So it seems to me that the Judiciary Committee, you know, might get a couple of press hits out of holding Rove in contempt, but that's about it at the moment until the courts decide this. Again, now that we're getting so close to the end of the administration, the clock's being run out. And although I think, you know, we might get to the bottom of these things in a couple of years, but the way they're running the legal system, you know, these things will take time. That said, these are important legal issues that need to be dealt with so that in the future when Congress wants to hold someone in contempt, and, you know, it's undoubted with either a Democratic or a Republican administration that this can come up again, that these issues are taken care of so we won't find ourselves in here again.
We're talking with Melanie Sloan from CRU. You can get more info on their website, citizensforethics.org, citizensforethics.org. How's our top earmark Senator Ted Stevens doing in his trial?
Well, he had kind of a good day in court today. The trial has started, and prosecutors have been calling people who did some of the construction work for Mr. Stevens, and they have been very lightly cross-examined by Mr. Stevens' lawyer, Brendan Sullivan, one of the best criminal lawyers out there. And they haven't yet put on Bill Allen. Prosecutors haven't put on Bill Allen, the chief executive officer of VICO, the guy who is the one who paid for all of the work and ordered it to be done. Mr. Stevens' argument seems to be he paid every bill that he got, and what could he do if Mr. Allen didn't tell him? He thought it was Mr. Allen who was being devious, not Mr. Stevens.
Now, I thought he was blaming his wife, saying that she paid the bills, and he just had no idea that all this remodeling of the house was done and didn't involve payment.
Right. Well, he's blaming, of course, everybody but himself, a typical Washington ploy. His wife didn't, he didn't know because she was responsible, but Mr. Allen, he's responsible because he didn't give them all the bills. So we'll see. Now, that said, prosecutors did anger Judge Sullivan greatly by sending a witness home to Alaska this weekend, someone they had said that they were putting on, they didn't put on. Judge Sullivan was very aggravated and said he would allow the defense lawyers to cross-examine further other witnesses because of the prosecutor's conduct, which he bordered on calling on misconduct. I'm sure it'll be an issue on appeal.
Oh.
Should Mr. Stevens be convicted? Prosecutors say they just didn't think it was a problem because they just didn't think they needed the guy. But nonetheless, that was a good moment for Mr. Stevens.
Interesting. Now, let's turn to the long-running case that you've been working on related to presidential records and, in particular, emails You have made some progress with a court ruling by Judge
Collar-Catelli.
Yes, I was looking for her first name, but I couldn't find it. Tell us a little bit about that, and then I understand that you've been you're angling at least to depose David Addington, who I think is the darkest of the dark characters in Cheney's office.
Well, we think that too. This is a lawsuit that we filed against the Vice President and the Office of the Vice President and the National Archives because we believe that the Vice President, who have you and I have talked about before, has been making the argument that he's his own fourth branch of government, not part of the executive branch. We've thought he must be arguing that in part so that he doesn't have to preserve his records under the Presidential Records Act, because, of course, the Presidential Records Act applies to these executive records, and if you're not part of the executive, well, I guess that the law doesn't apply to you. We filed a preliminary injunction to say that these records must be preserved, which Collar-Catelli agreed. Vice President Cheney's office tried to say, well, they were preserving the records, but they said what they were preserving were all the records of actions that Mr. Cheney had taken part in that were specially assigned by the president. But they're specially assigned by the president doesn't exist anywhere in the Presidential Records Act, which just requires all official records to be preserved. And they won't tell us what specially assigned means. And after going back and forth and three different declarations by the Deputy Chief of Staff, Claire O'Donnell, the judge finally was fed up with their behavior and said, Crew, what do you need here? And we said we'd like to take depositions, and we'd like to take the deposition of David Addington, the Chief of Staff for Cheney, who is behind all of this. He's the one who's been articulating the fourth branch of government position all along.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that deposition scheduled on Friday right now, and we're very excited by that. But, of course, we don't expect David Addington to just show up and give us all the information we need. So we'll see if clever lawyering by White House lawyers keeps him away from that deposition in the first place, and then if he indeed gives us anything interesting at that deposition.
He's a really nice guy.
Apparently, Secret Service say that he is, but I have a hard time believing that, given all the things I've read about him, for example, in Barton Gelman's book, Angler.
I'm just working my way through that, and Bart's going to be on the show later this week, so I think that'll be very interesting. And it is fascinating to see the fingerprints of David Addington show up on virtually every one of the power grabs that this administration has reached for.
That's right, and those are some of the things that we're allowed to ask for under the judge's questioning. We're allowed to ask about specific records. So, for example, we'll be wondering what happened to all the records relating to warrantless wiretapping. Is Mr. Cheney preserving those or not?
Mm-hmm. Well, the torture policies, the detention policies, and the whole case around Scooter Libby and the leak of Valerie Plame's identity, which I know you have a very special interest in, I hope you'll raise all those with David Addington. That'll be a fascinating deposition if he shows up and actually talks.
It will be, and we will keep you posted next week.
Very good, Melanie. Thank you for your work. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan at Crew. We're going to take a break now and return to the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome. My switchboard is open. Let me hear your thoughts about the debate, about the Democrats caving on offshore drilling. The ban is gone now. And also the remarkable vote in Washington today tanking the president's bailout for Wall Street that, of course, has been egged along by top Democratic leaders. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
locks and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Good afternoon. This is Hal Gintz with your KRXA 540 traffic report on Monday, September 29th in the 5 o'clock hour. Got a lot to report in Santa Cruz moving south, starting on Highway 1 at 41st Avenue northbound. We've got a dog running on the right-hand side, so be very careful there of the pooch. Also in Santa Cruz on Highway 17, just south of the Santa Clara County line, we've got a collision slow going in both directions there. California Highway Patrol is on the scene. In Hollister Gilroy, we've got a slow-moving vehicle. That's on Highway 101 southbound, just south of Highway 152. It's apparently a garbage vehicle, and trash is filling the roadway behind it. In Monterey County, on Rio Road at the Carmel Center Plaza, that's just east of Highway 1, there's a collision, no injuries there. And then finally, moving down to King City, two problems to report. One on Highway 101 southbound, just north of Los Lobos. Still got that slow-moving vehicle in the right-hand lane. And on Highway 198, just east of State Road 25, we've got a truck, a big rig, on the right-hand side with its triangle out. That'll do it for KRXA 540 traffic. I'm Hal Gintz.
Vote failed in the House today. A big setback for Wall Street and the Bush administration. Also, let's talk about the debate Friday night. Lines are open at 888-5 Peter B. My number again, 888-573-8372. So let's talk first about the presidential debate on Friday. Because when it was over, I came away feeling, well, Obama did okay, but McCain probably scored more points with his base than Obama did. Now, keep in mind what I said here, because at this point, for candidates to connect with their base is not as valuable as connecting with independents, swing voters, and people who might defect from what they consider their home party to vote for the other candidate. And so I understand, perhaps you do, that what Obama is doing is marketing. And the debate is a forum for him to establish his bona fides with people who don't know him, didn't pay any attention to the primary debates, the 21-22 sessions that he did with Hillary and other Democrats. And so in that, with that as the frame, he is marketing to voters who don't know him that well. I think he performed quite well. I think he came across as credible, knowledgeable, cool, calm, and collected under pressure. And the contrast between him and John McCain does not even have to be described. One guy's old and white, one guy's young and not. And so I think in many respects he performed well, and he probably achieved the goals that he and his advisors had set. But I want more. And I felt that Obama came up short. And I want to put this in the context of the history of Democratic candidates in the last two cycles, where Al Gore and John Kerry, in my view, won their debates with George Bush. But the media didn't agree. And as it was played after the fact, both of those guys came up described by the media as not having won those debates. And I thought it was because both of them were too polite to Bush and unwilling to return some of his savage attacks. And so while I don't counsel Barack Obama to go out there and just scream bloody murder and say what a nutcase John McCain is, I do believe that there are deft ways that he could have left a better soundbite trail, which of course is what these debates become. They're just carved up into little bites. And the sound bites so far that have survived are the ones carved up by the Republicans who play Obama's, well, I agree with Senator McCain. John, you're right about that. And as I mentioned earlier with Cliff Schechter, that's an interesting debating technique. But you should only acknowledge that your opponent is a little bit right and then lower the boom about how wrong they are about so many other issues. And I don't think Obama was as effective in that respect as he could have been. And I also feel, as I said earlier, that humor is the best weapon against the McCain package, which includes the war hero bit, the senior citizen, the veteran of Washington. And I think that if Obama had practiced a few funny lines that dispatched John McCain as the guy who is so inside the beltway that he can't find his way out, and that his recasting himself as a reformer and a regulator is just a crock. And if you hit him over the head with it, you lose. But if you make people laugh with you at him about it, you win. And that's what I thought that we should have seen in the debate the other night. Who do I have here on line one? Good afternoon. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Chris and Salinas. Hello. Hi, Chris. Yeah. Hi, Chris. Hello. Yeah, I can hear you. Go.
I was kind of disappointed, like you say. You know, he really could have went after the jugular on McCain as far as I'm concerned. But at the end, when McCain started bringing up the veterans and how he supports them, it's on record, and there's so much fact out there that McCain has voted against issues and troop funding and on. And I just thought that was a real disappointment, a real opportunity for Obama to touch base with the independent voters.
Well, I agree, and I believe that John McCain's voting record is the single greatest weapon that the Democrats have to use against him. And Obama referenced it a little bit, but I think he needed to be more detailed and show the uninformed, what I call the Wheel of Fortune type voters who just happen to be watching this debate, that he has a very consistent record against the interests of most Americans. And that's what Obama, I think, needs to stress over and over again. And that's where I felt he came up light. And the other part of it is that a month from now, when people look back at the first debate, there isn't a memorable hook. There isn't a memorable bruise left on John McCain. There's just this broad perception that Obama did better than McCain. And I think when the Republican attack machine gets into full roar, that some of the niceness and the gentlemanly behavior of Barack Obama will be lost as we hear more about Reverend Wright and Bill Ayers and all that crap. Chris, thank you very much. We're going to take a break and return to more of your phone calls. Join me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambley, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The fat bass line is calling me, man.
There's a rat in the kitchen. What am I going to do? Well, give him a bailout. $700 billion, the rats will just run right away. You don't need to worry. And you can trust the White House and the Democratic leaders to take care of the little people. Lines are open for you right now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. David Swanson, my friend in Washington, is the activist who's out there working for us. And David penned a piece that somebody emailed to me a little while ago based on lipsticks and pigs. Hi, David.
Hey, Peter. Good to hear you.
Good to talk to you. Now, we had one vote today, and the bailout package was defeated 228-205. Will there be an attempt to have another vote on this same package?
Well, I understand they're scheduled to come back into session on Thursday, and they're going to see what the market does between now and then and what they can negotiate and so on. But I would be shocked if they didn't try to tweak this thing and twist some arms and come back and pass it.
Yeah, yeah. And the divide is still very interesting. 95 Democrats in the House voted against it, and 65 Republicans voted for it. That's 133 Republicans who turned on President Bush. And where's John McCain? What's his current position on this, David?
Well, only the House has acted so far.
Right.
Senators are off the hook, but both Senator McCain and Senator Obama have suggested they will more than likely vote yes. They haven't really distinguished themselves from each other on this issue, which is a potential gold mine for at least one of them. I think Senator Obama ought to be out there opposing this in the strongest possible terms. And that doesn't mean you have to oppose any bailout at all. It means tax Wall Street to pay for its own bailout. Do it with oversight. Do it with punishment rather than reward for the fraudulent bankers who caused the disaster. Do it with a bailout for Main Street that invests in jobs and puts a moratorium on foreclosures and bans predatory lending and tries to help some people who've been victims of it.
And I want to go beyond Main Street because the real nightmare is on Elm Street and around the corner.
Yes, I guess most people don't live on Main Street.
But, David, I keep telling this to everybody I talk to, but my listener Ben in Salinas really offered this trickle-up approach instead of this, lob $700 billion and hope it trickles down approach. And fundamentally, we start with the problem loans at the homeowner level. And we can address two of the biggest unknowns here. One is, where is the bottom in home equities? And number two, since all these mortgages have been sliced and diced into these packages and pools and all that, if we take the troubled mortgages out of the pools by, unburdening the borrower and converting them to a 30-year fixed at a rate they can afford with an appraisal that's real, then we've started to right this ship. But when you try to take a capsized ship and right it from the forecastle, the foxhole, it doesn't work.
I couldn't agree more. And people will say, well, how can you promote irresponsibility by bailing out people who took loans they couldn't afford? Well, first of all, a lot of these loans are misleading, are predatory, and a lot of the reasons that people end up not being able to pay their loans when they're honest loans are because they've had a health care problem and we don't provide them with health coverage. They've lost their job. I mean, so many families are one little glitch away from losing their homes. And to take the money and instead give it to a bunch of billionaire bankers.
The ones who caused the problem.
Yeah, I mean, why should we promote irresponsibility? Why shouldn't they have to pay for their mistakes? I mean, if you're going to help somebody out, help the people who only have one home, not the people who have eight homes, like Senator McCain.
Yeah, and I do think the investors and speculators have been pretty well squeezed out by now, so the people who are left are probably homeowners who'd like to stay in that home, and it's in our common interest to help them stay there, David.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. And it's good for our economy. It's good for those people. There is no reason not to do it that way. And people will suggest, well, you're talking radical change and crazy new ideas to tax these transactions and to help people who've gotten bad loans and so forth. Well, they're throwing out wild and crazy ideas like tossing $700 billion at Wall Street. That's nuttier than anything we could propose in the way of creating green jobs or helping homeowners. We have to start thinking in dramatic terms and proposing something other than, I agree with you, Senator McCain, on that, but I want to muddle it a little bit.
David, I know you got to run to another media event here. Just a final question. Have you ever been in stranger beds than you are right now? I mean, you're opposing this along with people like Richard Shelby.
I have never before in my life agreed with my representative in Congress, Congressman Virgil Goode, the most racist, xenophobic bigot in the country, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. He did it, and he did it for almost the exact right reasons.
All right.
Voted no.
David, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for your... He is indefatigable, tireless, never gives up. 888-5, Peter B., let me know what you think about this bailout. And let me just take a moment here, and let's see, Vic, you're on the line. Don't go away. I'm going to get to you here in just a second. But I want to go through just a couple of points here about what is called the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008. Now, this is improved over the 2.5-page memo that came out in the dark of night the weekend before this past one. Yes, there are some improvements. It no longer bans oversight or court review. It sets up a decent oversight mechanism, but it's murky on who gets appointed to the oversight boards, and therefore we can't really be clear on how much oversight will really occur. The bill still does not have explicit protocols for what can be purchased, on what terms, and, you know, when it can be sold. It still gives incredible range of options and discretion to the Treasury Secretary, and the one we have is most likely to be replaced 4 months from now. And so, yes, the Democrats have improved it slightly, but they are still providing a bailout. Yes, there is a mechanism there at the end of the line in 5 years that the president at the time will force Wall Street to make up any losses from this bailout fund. They're also pretending that the government is going to buy these and then sell them at a profit, and there will be some windfall for the American people. That is really far-fetched, I believe. But as we look at this, while I acknowledge that the Democrats didn't completely roll over, particularly on the oversight and court issues, this bill is only a little better. And no one has demonstrated that it will achieve the goal. The gambit is this. They're telling the banks and the financiers who caused these problems that we're going to take away your bad paper, and then you're going to loan money again, right? But there's no requirement that banks loan money with the forbearance that they're going to receive from this gift. It is a gift. And so the Democrats have no business leading the charge on this. They should require the Republicans to write this bill, deliver the votes, and if Democrats want to support it, they could. But we should not have Democratic leaders working all weekend long and being the faces of a bailout for the failure of Bush, for the greed of Wall Street, and for the colossal boondoggle called self-regulation. Doesn't work on Wall Street. Doesn't work with coal-fired power plants. It doesn't work. Nobody voluntarily submits to regulation. Let's go to Vic in Eureka. Hi, Vic. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Oh, turn your radio down, Vic. I can hear him in the background.
Got a second too late. Okay, yeah.
Hi.
All right. So, I was shocked and amazed to learn this morning that they actually did not pass the bailout. I thought for sure they were going to just roll over and cave in like it seems like they always want to do.
Well, they tried real hard.
It was
Republicans who stopped them.
Isn't that amazing?
This is the mind bender, as I was mentioning with David Swanson, that those of us who look at this clearly and who are not, riven by the fear-mongering that has been, you know, pounded into us by Paulson, Bush, and the media the last 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it dispassionately, okay, the real problem here is in the swaps and the derivatives, a $45 trillion market. The total amount of mortgages on private residences in the United States is about $13 trillion. So it's the derivatives. It's the high-flying products that they created to make money on transactions, not money on productivity or money on things that were created. This was wealth that was derived from other wealth, the Ponzi scheme that had to crash. And yet they just kept feeding it, hoping that, like musical chairs, that they'd have a seat when the music stopped.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of people have been saying in the alternative media that they've seen this coming. I've been hearing about it for the last couple of years. You don't see it on corporate media, but you've seen it in alternative media. And yet it continued to go on despite the fact people saw it and knew about it. So that tells me that it's intentional. That there's no accident. I mean, it's deliberate. I mean, how else can it be that you know about it and you keep on doing it if it's an accident? You know, that doesn't make any sense. Seems to me this thing is the biggest swindle that we've ever seen really in this country. But
now they have created the expectation that there will be a bailout. So the market went down, the number is beautiful, 777, 777 points today. And so that's going to be used in the media to drive this crisis mentality.
Right.
Oh, we've got to give in money. Well, by dangling this and expecting it to pass, in record time within a week, Paulson himself, the former Goldman Sachs chair,
right,
is responsible for creating the expectation that is now reflected in this huge drop in the market today.
Yeah, I say let it go. I say they should do nothing and just let this house of cards fall. It's not going to hurt me any. I was wondering what you thought about that. I was wondering, what would happen if they just don't do any kind of a bailout, any kind at all? Just let this thing happen. It seems
The capitalist way. That's the free market system.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all told, oh, we can't let this happen. And, the truth,
yeah,
Vic, is I don't...
Yeah, Bush that told us that the Iraq war would pay for itself, says we can't let this happen.
Right, but they have just enough information. They've created this climate of fear. Banks are failing. There was a run on the mutual funds a week ago Friday. A Washington Mutual saw a run on the bank to the tune of $16.5 billion in a 10-day period. So there are real things going on, and we can see that Bush and these policies created the environment where this has occurred. The issue is, do we have to give them $700 billion, and will it do anything? There's no evidence that's been presented that this is going to work. It's the most expensive Band-Aid that's ever been attempted, and it's not clear that it will cover the wound.
No, not at all. Well, one thing, and the main point I wanted to make here with my call was that I was kind of surprised to see that the reason why it didn't go through today was because of all the constituents that just flooded their representatives with the phone calls and emails. Apparently it actually worked and they actually caved in for fear of getting voted out if they go through with this. And I thought, well, hey, I guess we're actually making a difference here, and I guess this is really the time to keep on that. I mean, really hit them hard with this stuff, because they're not trying to vote for what's right. They're trying to, vote for what's going to cover their butts, They're just afraid of pushing the wrong buttons, and that's it.
Just beware the craven populist, whatever label that person wears, because we're surrounded, we're awash in them right now, and it is really hard to know who is sincere and who is posturing, and what the net outcome of this is going to be. Thanks for your call, Vic. We're going to take a break and return to more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5 Peter B. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com, and people do.
Final KRXA 540 traffic report for Monday, September 29th.
starting in Santa Cruz County. Highway 1 southbound, just north of SoCal Drive, traffic collision with an ambulance responding. Highway 1 northbound, just north of Park Avenue, we've got a collision involving three vehicles. Slow going there. No injuries reported, fortunately. On Highway 17 in Santa Cruz County, just south of the Santa Clara County line, we've got a collision with lots of slow going in both directions. We've got police and tow trucks on the scene there, so slow going at the grade. Moving south to Monterey County, Blackie Road at Del Monte Avenue, traffic collision, no injuries. Big rig versus a gold Mitsubishi in Monterey County on Highway 101 northbound, just south of Camphora Gloria Road. We've got a plastic bin in the slow lane. And finally, in King City, still have that hazard to report on Highway 198 just east of State Road 25. That's a big rig with its triangle out. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon. Enjoy the Scott Dick Show. To follow the Peter B. Collins Show only on AM5.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
If you'd like, you can share a podcast of any portion of this program with a friend, or gosh, an enemy if you prefer. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Anthony in Eureka listening to KGOE. Welcome to the show today, Anthony.
Hey, Peter B. How was your weekend, bro?
It was pretty good, thank you.
Yeah, listen, Obama's performance was charming, 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 charming. A perfect gentleman. He's even concerned about Gramps or McCain with a genuine sensitivity. I'm calling you, Peter B., to tell you the resolution to this economic collapse.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that Thomas Hartman, your bro, and Ravi Bhakra from SMU, Keynesian Economics 101. Tariffs, just as they used to work. Two, we don't need to bail out these investment bunkers, these speculators. They're not banks. They don't give credit. They want money.
Well, they just allowed them to change from gamblers to bankers.
There you go. You see, they're getting smart. They need deposits. So, who should be bailed out? B2B. Just as Franklin Roosevelt did it, just as Tom Hartman said, the mortgagees.
Mm-hmm.
You just rewrite the mortgages at whatever percentage you want over 30 years and everything is resolved.
Well, not quite everything, but it would go a long way toward
Because the thing they keep telling us is they don't know the depths of this because the way they let young MBAs repackage mortgages into these swaps and pools and all that. And so I do agree that the way to isolate the infected elements of this, if you will, is to start with the mortgage holders.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I call the trickle-up approach.
That's right.
And it would, I believe, and I've told listeners about my Republican neighbor, Hank. Hank is a bond trader. Hank works for Wachovia.
Mm-hmm.
His holding company just got bought by Citigroup today.
Mm-hmm.
But Hank, I told Hank about Ben. I told Hank about Ben's idea of, you know, starting with this. And even my Republican capitalist pal, Hank, says, you know, that'd be a lot smarter than just throwing $700 billion at the street.
You see, PDB, I think these Republicans are down now to about 19%. I used to say 35%. So now they're down to about 19%. And I want to convey to you my walking the talk and talking the talk. For example, that
okay,
Ronald,
and make this your last point because I got other callers, Anthony. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I say that Barack Obama is number one, Harvard University. Even Clinton, a Rhodes Scholar, and Kerry and Gore, super genius intellectuals, as opposed to, listen to me, Peter B., as opposed to a B, a C minus with Bushy, a fifth from the bottom of the Naval Academy, McCain.
He was eighth from the bottom.
All right. I didn't say the percentile. You said the bottom. And listen, I got 3 degrees, Peter B. I got a 3.59 average out of four. And listen.
Well, Sarah Palin got 1 degree after 5 years and four schools.
C minus.
Four schools in 5 years, something like that. Hey, Anthony, we could go on, but Gina's on the line from Salinas. Hello, Gina. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, we think that they put that this was a pre-planned scheme. Well, we really can't prove it. But in July, there's a company called the Sovereign Society, and they send out an e-letter to investors.
Okay.
Okay, and I just found out last night there is a group in Europe called the Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is made up of a bunch of banks.
Okay.
Now, in July, at the bottom of this letter, which I'm not, I don't know all this smart stuff, okay?
Oh, you're smarter than you act. Go ahead,
well,
Gina.
No, I mean, all that stuff I was reading, and I kept thinking, well, hey, I was supposed to see how the money moved around the world in this. So I read all the way down to the bottom, and at the P.S. it said, Washington is about to do what it does best, spend money over the next 61 days, an avalanche of cash is about to flow from the Energy Policy Act to a few select public companies. To find out how you can exploit this trend and target gains of 871% or more, read these free reports. I copied that and put it in a file to check later, and I just found it 3 days ago because I thought, well, that's strange, but I didn't know how to relate it to anything. Okay, but after this mess, this bailout mess came up, hey, right on target, okay, and an avalanche of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Sovereign Society Offshore A-Letter is the world's most popular offshore e-letter providing readers with total wealth solutions from an arsenal of experienced commodity experts, investment analysts, and currency traders. You'll hear about a world of exceptional opportunities that are virtually ignored by Wall Street and the Main Street media. From offshore banking, asset protection trusts, and international business corporations to privacy threats, emerging market trends, and globe-trotting commentary.
Okay, Gina, give me the bottom line. I got 20 seconds.
The bottom line is that's our pipeline for our money that's been leaving this country where nobody knows who it is. It's all secret. They set up things for people to not pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And the destination is that sovereign wealth fund. That's who's been running our country.
All right, Gina, thank you very much. We also have to pay all those debts to China. And Theodora, I got 20 seconds. Uncle Ralph is coming to...
Uncle Ralph is coming, and he's already here. Anybody in the Santa Cruz area, come here. Ralph Nader, Speak Truth to Power, tonight at 7:30 at the Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium downtown.
You delivered, Theodora. Thank you.
Okay, thank Ralph.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I think we'll do this again tomorrow. Will you join me?
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
On this vote, the yeas are 205, the nays are 228. The motion is not adopted.
It was a stunning defeat for the Bush administration and congressional leaders. The $700 billion credit market rescue failed in the House by 23 votes. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports there was strong opposition on both sides.
Democrats and Republicans trudged to the House floor, united in their contempt for the $700 billion bailout.
This bill is fueled by fear and hinges on haste.
This isn't legislation. This is extortion.
Still, passage was expected. Failure, both sides had repeatedly warned, could further stress shaky markets and possibly trigger a widespread economic collapse.
This bill is not popular, but it is necessary.
This issue is too grave. The consequences are too dire.
But Republicans say the debate took a fatal partisan turn when Democratic Speaker Nancy Pelosi blamed the financial crisis on what she called the failed policies of the Bush administration.
They claim to be free market advocates when it's really an anything goes mentality. No regulation, no supervision, no discipline.
Conservative support, which had been somewhat shored up over the weekend, evaporated. And when the roll was called, two-thirds of the Republicans voted no.
40% of Democrats opposed the bill. At the White House...
I was disappointed in the vote with the United States Congress on the economic rescue plan. We put forth a plan that was big because we got a big problem.
President Bush huddled with his economic advisors, and it's been announced that he'll make another statement on the situation tomorrow morning at 7:45 Eastern. The stock market reacted with a huge sell-off. The Dow dropped 777 points, its biggest one-day point loss ever. Investors, like these people in Spokane, are very nervous.
I'm very concerned. Our retirement is at risk. I don't feel that we should have a full bailout.